Hey, what's up, everyone? Don Tony. I'm currently parked at a red light. I tried to do this near my house, and I'm nervous that the neighbors may hear me. I tried to do it by my local church. Figured I'd park up front, and there's a freaking wedding going on. So I haven't done this in about 15 years, and for some reason, a lot of people have been asking me to do it one more time. But if you remember Gilbert Godfrey with the Aflac commercials, he used to do the Aflac duck. Ran into some controversy, got fired from it. And back in the day, just as a goof, I imitated the Aflac duck and everybody got a good laugh out of it. So 15 years later, hopefully nobody hears me and hopefully it sounds all right. So, and I'm doing it with the mask so you don't see my mouth. Ready? Everybody, what's going on, everybody? It is Friday night, November 20th, 2020. I am back, Don Tony Show. I tell you, this day has been one interesting day. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You perverted minds out there, we're talking about my pen. I got the biggest pen in the room. Check it. I'm exhausted. I know a lot of people have been asking me. I didn't put it on social media, but we shared it through the videos. Bad news and good news. Good news is my dad does not have COVID. The bad news is he's got pneumonia. And yesterday, as soon as I heard the news that he wasn't COVID positive, I went to his house, stood there overnight, helped him, helped my mom, did some laundry, took care of them. And then I had to record Kev Kazel's Patreon show in the midst of all of this nonsense. I got virtually no sleep. But I will tell you tonight, I will sleep like a baby because I know that my father is on the mend. So some bad news, but some good news overall. So thank God. Hopefully this put a little bit of a scare into my father and stop with the Trump mentality that he's stronger than anything. Could have killed my mother. Seriously. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but facts are facts. So anyway, I know I say it all the time. I guarantee you, I will shut the electricity off if I'm not done by 11:30 tonight. Maybe 11:40, because we'll do about 90 minutes. Now, let me tell you something else that's going on. Anybody has windows knows that for the last couple of days, there's been some very big Windows updates. Now, me, because I do three shows a week, I don't usually shut the computer down. I just put it to sleep, if you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, earlier today, I had the computer on and it installed all of these updates. And it just so happens one of my updates has to do with my network card. So right now, as far as the signal of, you know, the internet coming in, I'm only averaging about 30 megabytes a second when I usually average 300. Good news is the output is about 10 megabytes still. So I don't think we'll have any connection issues tonight, but just in case, you know, in advance. Now, what I promise, and I did this happen on Wednesday, I don't think it was related, but if the video ever freezes for any reason, the internet goes down or there's a freeze, I will just pause the show and I won't keep talking. I'll just wait until the connection comes back up and then we'll continue where we leave off. That's one good thing about the YouTube. It automatically pauses it, so you really don't miss anything. But tonight, we're going to talk Survivor Series. I'll give you my pay-per-view predictions. Not trying to be a jerk, but didn't I tell you last week that Natty will probably get on the team the third time around? Didn't I tell you last week that Bailey should be the fifth person and the captain of the team? Didn't I tell you that Otis was going to start an upward trend and should be on Team Survivor Series SmackDown? You know, you saw those early reports. By the way, am I in the Twilight Zone? How many websites yesterday and today with the big spoiler alert that Big E was going to be on Team SmackDown? Do these goofs understand that they want Big E to possibly win the Royal Rumble? And that is the Acme Insta feud. It's the instant feud. It's without building a storyline. So putting Big E on Team SmackDown, all of these exclusive. Did you see that the last 24 hours? Are you kidding me? I mean, it's almost as bad as everybody who ran to throw AEW under the bus because of a tweet. Did you see that? Now, I'm not going to comment about the guy. I don't know much about the guy. I know about his old tweets. I'm going to stay out of it. But because of a tweet, instead of maybe trying to get the truth, not realizing that this guy never worked for AEW, but worked for a video company, instead of getting people out there are desperate to feel relevant. And they don't bother. It's boring to do work. It's boring to find the facts. And you saw all those people yesterday looking for attention, looking for that catchy tweet. Look, everybody, I got 100 likes. Look, flex. So tonight, we're going to talk about Survivor Series. Let's see if my pay-per-view predictions are as accurate as what we've been talking about. We'll talk about SmackDown. As far as a go-home show, boy, I tell you, for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about this, and I've been having some great convo with Mish on Mondays about this. The one thing that WWE just totally screwed up with this year's Survivor Series, and I think I'm starting to figure out why. Some of you may actually not like what I'm going to say, even though overall I think, you know, the whole segments are going to be awesome. But the one thing that has been lacking and lacking dearly is the chaos. The chaos. You know, this felt like a respectable confrontation this year. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself again, but it wasn't that long ago that Kurt Angle was on his walkie-talkie. It's on! It's on! Security! It's on! You don't end SmackDown with Raw and SmackDown all battling it out like, oh my God, there's chaos. Tune in Sunday! Ah! Oh man, this was so disappointing. But now I see why. I think WWE, and I'm going to stick with my original analysis, and for anybody that may not tune into the Monday shows, I'll repeat part of it here. I think this year's Survivor Series, yes, there'll be some competitive matches. Yes, there'll be some individual moments. But for the most part, I think WWE believes that everybody this year will remember Survivor Series mostly for Undertaker than anything else. And because Undertaker, because they're going to do this whole thing, you know, let's not push the matches too much, which is ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. I mean, come on. You have an all-star team, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, and you mean to tell me that because you want one or two all-stars to shine more than anybody else, you tell the other players, look, Don't shoot too many hoops today. Or, you know, don't swing for the fences. You know, we want these two. What is that? Go balls out. Balls out. This is part of the road to WrestleMania. Every little piece is a jigsaw puzzle. I mean, I tell you, I'm not lying when I say this. I'm not really looking forward too much for Survivor Series. I mean, look, I'm looking forward to it. But as far as individual matches, sorry for saying this. Sasha Banks and Asuka, seen it 10 times this year. Lashley versus Sami Zayn, do we really care? Honestly, New Day versus Street Profits, okay, a little bit. But that seems like it may be a little bit more comedy, although, you know, as we've been praising, Xavier Woods is on a whole different level right now. We know what Kofi could do. And when I get into my predictions later, I'll tell you what I think the outcome is going to be. Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, I expect interference, without a doubt. So what do you have left? The women's 5-on-5? The men's 5-on-5? I mean, does it feel like over? I mean, it's just WWE, they should have just made everything feel uber special. And The Undertaker is a special person. He's a special part of our wrestling lives as fans. So it doesn't matter if Roman Reigns or Drew McIntyre tear the house down. It doesn't matter if the New Day and the Street Profits was so good that it should turn into a multi-month feud. It doesn't matter if Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley surprise everybody and really knock it out of the park. It doesn't matter if we have, you know, great wrestling on both of the 5-on-5s. No matter how great those matches are, or no matter how bad those matches are, it doesn't change our feelings on The Undertaker. And man, you know, they do all this COVID testing and the people, you know, that are clear are allowed to compete on TV. So what's the excuse of not having Raw people show? And tell me this, how come when Drew McIntyre shows up on SmackDown, it has to be an unsanctioned match, but the New Day show up on SmackDown and it's a tag title match? It's just really, really shoddy. I just think it's shoddy. I mean, you saw that open tonight. You know, you have the New Day show up, and, you know, they're talking about the Street Profits saying they're going to be dead men. But, you know, it's a little harsh. No, I'm segueing to The Undertaker, and everything today is about The Undertaker. Everything today is about The Undertaker. Everything today is about The Undertaker. And then they get interrupted by Sami Zayn. Why? And then they get interrupted by Baron Corbin. Okay, 2-on-2. And then they get interrupted by Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. See, I'm not even reading notes. That's how bullshit some of this was tonight. And now they're like, oh, here comes a match. Oh, there's the Street Profits music. Ah, there it is. Because we don't want the Street Profits or the New Day to be going into Survivor Series a little bit one up on each other. So we'll just do an 8-man tag so they both win. It was so predictable. I mean, you could pretty much guarantee like every segment that, what was that? I mean, it was a fun match. But for a lead into the Survivor Series, come on, man. Come on. So, but anyway. So tonight I'm going to review the rest of Raw. I'll give you my Survivor Series predictions. We'll talk for a minute or two about Pro Wrestling Illustrated, because I do have an update from Wednesday, and I want to give you just my quick 2 cents on that. We'll talk about a few other things. By the way, I don't know if they're sold out yet, but, you know, I can't help but to think of all the other WWE superstars. Now, I'll tell you why I think this is different, but be honest, everyone. Did anybody out there, as cool as it sounds, and even though you got to drop $1,000 to get Undertaker to do a cameo video for you, limited to 30 because of the Undertaker's 30th year, even though how cool that is, that the Undertaker is on Cameo, I mean, you know, I know Undertaker does care about the roster, but tell me, seriously, as cool as that is, tell me that's not just a huge this from WWE to all of their roster that said, you can't have a Twitch account. Now, the reason why it's different a little bit with The Undertaker is The Undertaker has a different type of contract. And you know what? He could very well be, you know, in the employee department of WWE. Ambassador, Legends contract, whatever you want to call it. But I tell you, just the perception of it, you know, the overall view. I mean, you go on Cameo and you look up every WWE superstar and every single one of their accounts, Not available right now. Notify me when available. Notify me when available. Notify me when available. I don't care if The Undertaker is on his deathbed. I don't care if The Undertaker is celebrating his 60th birthday. I don't care if The Undertaker is celebrating 50 years in wrestling. I don't care. You know, he's a legend. He's you know, one of my more favorite ones. Not in my top 10, but I absolutely loved his work, and I have so many memories of him. But, man, talk about doing this to the rest of the car. I'm not saying Undertaker did. I personally think Undertaker, and nobody's talked about this, but I will bet you any amount of money, Undertaker takes virtually no money from this. I bet you Cameo gets their cut, WWE gets their cut, a cut's going to go to charity, and that's going to be, you watch. I bet you that's what it is. But, you know, when you look at this, and I'm saying to myself, man, I'm trying not to curse. I haven't cursed yet, but I got to do it once. What a big fuck you to the entire roster from WWE. You know, legend or not, I just think that is beyond disrespectful on WWE's part. Now, you know, I think it's pretty cool to see The Undertaker, you know, just being, you know, himself now. I mean, we saw him eating hot sauce the other day. I think People Magazine had photos of him out of his element. He did a TikTok video today, everybody. A TikTok video. By the way, I signed up on TikTok as well today. At Don Tony D. And a video later on is my first video on TikTok. Look, I'm not taking it seriously. It's just about having fun. You know, I just love all these people online that, you know, claim they're too cool for school, or they're tough this, or they're this, and they're too embarrassed to show you what they look like. Me, I laugh at myself. I take life, you know, as lighthearted as I possibly can. And I think that's why I laugh and I smile, and I think we praise as much as we can. And everybody else, they have to get tweets by shitting on everything. Not interested in that. But, you know, so Undertaker, what happened was the lights were off. You heard the music. The lights go on. Michelle McCool's wearing an Undertaker mask. And she rises up and she tries to do the rest in peace. Then all of a sudden the lights go on. And Undertaker is in the room and he's something like, seriously? You know, seriously? And she's like, I thought it was good. And you had to see people like upset that The Undertaker is now on TikTok. The dead man is no more. We're going to talk about this on Monday, everyone. But even Snoop Dogg and The Undertaker are launching their own clothing. Look at that. Snoop Dogg and Undertaker. It's a doggy dog world. Rest in peace. It's a doggy. Yeah, we got to pay Undertaker to do Snoop Dogg. Now Undertaker has to rap some Snoop Dogg. Seriously. You know, I want him to do Gin and Juice, you know, because I don't think he'll do, I'll go 187 on a motherfucker. Nah, we're not going to go there. But, you know, we're not supposed to think that those Men in Black, remember? Men in Black with the thing. We're not supposed to remember those songs. I'll go 187 on a motherfucker. Gin and Juice. I never drank Gin and Juice, by the way. Never drank it. By the way, shout out to everybody who is live. Shout out to everybody on the archive. If you're enjoying the show, I'd appreciate it if you give it a like. Get a little bit more exposure here on YouTube. By the way, I want to congratulate JD from New York. He got his partnership confirmed with Twitch. So me, I'm not messing around with Twitch right now. I'm still trying to break my cherry over here. You know, I mean, people are years and years and years invested on YouTube. I'm not even 10 months yet. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, why don't you go here? And why don't you go here? And you need to do this. And you need to do that. In time, everybody. In time. I'd rather take it slow and methodically build it, you know, build it the right way and, you know, succeed at it than to just blow. You know, there's a lot of people out there who brag that they're podcasters. And then you tune into the show and they got 21 listeners, you know? So anybody could podcast, anybody could Twitch, anybody could do this stuff. It's, you know, building a loyal family. You know, I know they say build a fan base or a listener base. I consider you all family, for real. Not kidding as well. By the way, shout out to Cleric of Chaos. No message. But yeah, so I'm tinkering with the graphics a little bit as well. And shout out to Sheen. You got to see the graphic he did for me for the Survivor Series Sunday. And yeah, it's all Undertaker. I mean, I think everybody, you know, you look at all the wrestlers. Everybody on the WWE roster has done an impersonation of Undertaker, a tribute of Undertaker, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, that's respect. That's respect. And he has earned it. And, you know, I will repeat what I've been saying. I'm going to stick with it. I've gone this far with this. What I think is going to happen with The Undertaker. Yes, they're portraying it that he's going to go out into the sunset. I personally think, and you know what? This pre-show Royal Rumble kind of like stuck it to me a little bit, because now I'm like, damn, that Royal Rumble now might put a little tinker in my idea. But, you know, me, I have always looked at this in this way. And I promise I'll just give you the cliff notes of what I've been saying. We still got LED screens, all right? Pfizer today put in a request for emergency approval so they could distribute the vaccine. They're going to approve this. 1, 2, 3. This vaccine is going to start getting distributed almost immediately. Then you have one or two other companies out there that are about to apply for emergency. That's why, like I said, by, you know, January, if Biden is put into office, this vaccine is already going to be out and it's going to be available to a lot of people. So my point is, WrestleMania is still 5 months away. 5 months away. So if you could have Undertaker walk out into the sunset, you're not going to blow your load on a WWE Network Survivor Series with LED panels and having to pipe in Undertaker, Undertaker. I mean, they'll try their hardest telling the LED screens, all right, everybody, now count at 3, 1, 2, Undertaker, Undertaker. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to look at the Thunderdome and you're going to see people like this. It's not going to match. It's not going to match. You do it at WrestleMania. 10,000 people there, 20,000 people there, live fans, merchandise. Everything is about 30th year. 30th year. Everything is about the 30th year. You feel it more like an anniversary of Survivor Series than The Undertaker. How I feel about what is going to happen Sunday, I felt the same way, and I brought this up once before, I felt the same way when they did that ceremony for Ric Flair. Not the ceremony after he lost to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Little whiles before that, before Ric Flair was retiring, after Raw went off the air, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen it because I think it's on that DVD, like Raw After the Bell or something like that. I have it inside. But after Raw went off the air, they did this whole tribute to Ric Flair. Triple H came out, Undertaker came out, Vince came out, everybody came out and paid tribute to Ric Flair. And it was after Raw, and I was doing a hotline at the time, and I was like, son of a bitch, I want to see this. And all we had was recaps from fans who were in attendance. Oh, I was at Raw, and after they went off the air, they did this, they did that, they did this, a speech, Ric Flair's family was there. I think they might have been in North Carolina as well. And it was awesome. It was awesome. He wasn't retiring that night, but that was the ceremony. That was the thank you. And he ended up doing a little bit more. Now, I don't think Undertaker is going to go on that, you know, that run like Ric Flair did. If he loses another match, he's retired. That was the ultimatum that Vince gave him, and that was the storyline heading into WrestleMania. But I think Sunday is Undertaker Appreciation Night. That's what I think it is. Undertaker Appreciation Night. Thank you for a legendary career. I still think somebody is going to attack him. Especially, that is this gigantic celebration that everybody is covering. in and out of wrestling in the entertainment world, it is going to take whoever attacks him and put them on a different level. That's why my idea 3 or 4 weeks ago about Retribution doing that, I know a lot of you out there aren't into the Retribution storyline, but you mean to tell me that would not like take them to a different level? To have this hyped up ceremony with all these articles, thank you, Taker, and all this stuff, and then they ruin it? You ruined it, damn it! You ruined it! Be fucking phenomenal. So, it could be The Fiend. It could be The Fiend. It could be anybody you want it to be. It could be anybody you want it to be. But whoever it is going to be uber, uber heel. And I'll tell you, I don't want it to be The Fiend. Because WrestleMania is still 5 months away. So I think back. Do you remember that casket match that Yokozuna had with Undertaker? You remember when you had Bigelow and all these people came out and were all doing their finishers and Undertaker got thrown in the casket and then they did that goofy sci-fi stuff where his soul rose and everything. We didn't see him for a while. So he needs a beatdown by more than one person. That's why I thought Retribution would be perfect. He gets annihilated. The only problem with this, here's the only problem with that, is you can't do a ceremony where the ring keeps filling up with people. You know what I mean? You can't have it where there's 10, 20, 30 people out there thanking The Undertaker. They probably, and if they start having people come out, give a hug to The Undertaker, thank him, maybe say a couple of words and they, you know, go in the back. Or if they all get in the ring and then they start emptying out and then something happens to Undertaker, it's going to look goofy if there's 20 or 30 people out there and Undertaker gets attacked. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Look, if you want it to be Great Khali, whoever you want it to be, I just feel that you want Undertaker to go out into the sunset. What's the rush, everybody? What was the big rush? Survivor Series, the WWE Network. There's nothing showing that this is leading to a surge, a big surge in subscription signups. You have heard nothing of the sort. What is the rush? Why now? Wouldn't you do it on a night like WrestleMania where it could be 5 hours long? So I personally think that something is going to happen Sunday. And no one is talking about that. That's the thing that amazes me. Like, I would expect some people all this time to be, no, you know, they're going to do a tribute, but he's getting attacked. He's getting attacked. I don't know, man. Lars could do it. Lars is another one. You can pick whoever you want to pick. Whoever you want to pick. So we will see. Oh, yeah. Jody, my shirt. You like my pen, right? I got a big pen. My pen is huge. Sting. I think that ship has sailed. Let's be honest. You know. I mean, I'll tell you what would be interesting. If Retribution did that to Undertaker, then maybe you have like 3 or 4 guys, or 3 guys with The Undertaker for WrestleMania. What if Undertaker teamed up with Kane, who he has a big history with, teams up with Sting, who everybody always wanted to see him do something with, maybe one additional person, and you have 4-on-4 with Retribution. You want to put Michelle McCool out there, have Michelle McCool go up against me and him. I'm just brainstorming. I'm not saying that any of this is good, but it, look, again, the thing that just keeps hitting me is, why? What's the rush? All right, it's the 30th year of Survivor Series. All right, great. It was the 25th year of SmackDown or 20th year, whatever it was. There's anniversaries. There's the 20th year, the 25th year, the 30th year. What makes the, you know what I'm saying? All right, it's the 30th year of Survivor Series. All right, yeah, yeah. So if we're going to thank Undertaker, we're going to skimp and do it now with piped in fake chants and LED screens of people just looking the other way and just more oohing and on that they, oh, look, I'm on TV. I'm telling you, man, I don't feel it. I don't feel just tribute, leave, done. Maybe Shane McMahon comes out there. Just, you know what? I just thought about it. Kane, Sting, Shane McMahon, Undertaker versus Retribution, WrestleMania. Just an idea. Just throwing an idea. Big Baller, yeah, that could be Undertaker's decision. Could very well be. Problem is, Undertaker has said numerous times and said it on interviews this week that he's working for a boss. Remember, he's not an independent contractor. He refs him as boss. He's working for a boss that if the boss changes his mind and needs him, that he'd probably do it. So he keeps that opportunity open. So we'll see. We'll see. I like the Mankind idea, but Mick Foley, I don't know if he's physically able. You know, me, I'd love to see it, but I don't know if he's physically able. But one thing is for certain, you know, the ceremony Sunday, you will have people writing on Twitter that they're teary-eyed. And I'm fine. I totally respect that. Anybody that gets choked up, because look, as we get older, a lot of our favorites growing up, sooner or later, are going to say goodbye in the ring. And, you know, as much as people are not used to seeing Undertaker on TikTok, Undertaker smiling and posing with his family, Undertaker talking like a normal person, Undertaker, you know, doing cameos, Undertaker doing this, you know, be glad, be happy at that. For one simple phrase that I have been saying on these shows since 1997, a lot of people want to say hello when it's time to say goodbye. And all of these years that Undertaker was this phenomenon, now Undertaker is becoming more, you know, available. And you're getting to see a personality. And you know what's the greatest thing about him as well? You know, nobody really gives a shit if he's pro-Trump or pro-Republican or pro-Democrat or pro-independent. Nobody cares about the political affiliation. Nobody cares. They just enjoyed him as a character. And that should go for everyone. Unless, you know, they force their political views in your face. Then that's different. And Undertaker doesn't do that. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Want to give a shout out to Cassette Classics 86. Taker was always meant to go out at Mania. I agree, man. You build that on, let's be honest, everyone. You build that undefeated streak at Mania, and his record at Mania is still the best of all time. You mean to tell me a 30th anniversary at Survivor Series is more important than one more match at WrestleMania? It doesn't sit with me, you know? And look, if it ends up Sunday, that's it. He's done. He says goodbye. I mean, he'll still do interviews and appearances. I'll be fine with that as well. But I don't know. I just don't think, even if Undertaker wanted some of this, I just can't picture Vince, you know, like, put it this way. Look at Saudi Arabia. Remember Saudi Arabia? Was it early this year or was it last year? When Undertaker was not going to be on the card, they sent Undertaker to Saudi Arabia, and they did this giant, if I knew we were going to have this conversation, I should have took the picture out, but this giant Undertaker float, do you realize how much money Saudi Arabia spent just to showcase Undertaker like a parade? You mean to tell me Vince is not going to pull out everything imaginable to give this guy the best send-off possible? It was last year. Okay. It was Sam and Psycho say it was last year. So, yes, the dead man character is retiring. Undertaker is retiring. But I'm telling you, I still think a beatdown. How many of you want a beatdown Sunday? I mean, would you rather, I know, like I say, always on audio only, you know, there's a 5 second, 7 second delay. Thank God we have no connection issues yet. But how many of you out there, you know, would you rather see him just say goodbye Sunday and that's it? Or do you want to see a beatdown? So you just write yes for beatdown. Okay. Wow. Okay. We got a bunch of people saying no, they don't want a beatdown. Yeah. It does. Ken, we don't know by who. We don't know by who. But, now it's a little bit split. Now a bunch of people are saying beatdown, some right off into the sunset, you know. So I think, you know, whatever goes down Sunday, it will be memorable. I think we will all agree on that. So, but so with that said, you know, let's finish up. By the way, if someone wants to do me a favor, while we're doing the show, go on Cameo's website and type up Undertaker in the search box. Let me know how many cameos are left. Because as of this afternoon, there was 15 out of 30 that were left. You know, I tell you, if it was a little bit less than $1,000, I would have seriously thought about charging it. And I know some of you are going to say, oh, yeah, sure, sure. Everybody does that, DT. Oh, if I didn't have this bill this month, that would have been mine. No, but, oh, two left. Okay, good, good. So 28 of them are gone. So there's only two left. And you know what's cool about it as well? He's going to record these Sunday at Survivor Series. He's doing 30 as a celebration. But, you know, look, you see that kind of money that's being made. You think this is the only appearance? You know, obviously, Undertaker, when he does the cameos, it will have a Survivor Series message built in with that as well. And if Undertaker does future cameo videos, you know, he might be home. He might not have the outfit on. So people who are going to spend $1,000 are probably going to get treated to 2 minutes of awesome video. You know, and good, good, good for him. And good for those who ordered it. So let's see. Oh, I had to mention this. And that was pretty funny. I'm looking for pictures of the sample credit cards. WWE and Credit One Bank have announced a multi-year partnership, and they're going to come out with credit cards with the superstar's likeness on there. Let me tell you something. Someone who's in insurance and finance, I don't know if any of you out there have Credit One Bank, but my experience with Credit One Bank, they are the drizzling shits. Drizzling shits. You couldn't give me one of their cards for free. Seriously, even if they said to me, Don Tony, we put your face on it and all this stuff, hell no. I never, ever, 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 ever liked Credit One. Garbage. Absolute garbage. Shout out to Steve Joseph. The vaccine is 95% effective. Do I believe those numbers? Yes, I do. I do. Because, number one, the study is not millions of people. It's tens of thousands. And, yeah, look, man. You know, there's vaccines that are 90-plus percentage, you know, effective. They're not going to lie. They're not going to lie for Trump. If they were really doing this vaccine for Trump, it would have came out before the election was over. Or they would have had an announcement date. A lot of people thought when Pfizer made the announcement last week or the week before that it was over 90%, a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, you wait until after the freaking election to say that and everything. It's not political to them. It really isn't. They want to help cure the world and cure the country. They also want to make billions. They want to make money off of this. But no, I do believe that 95% is an accurate figure. But even if it went down to 90%, that's still awesome. Because remember, you know, people out there right now, there was a study that came out today that anybody under the age of 18 and younger that have no comorbidities, which means they don't have an underlying health condition, the cure rate for COVID is 100%. It's 100%. So the vaccine will prevent you from getting sick. But even if you happen to be one of the unlucky 10%, if you don't have any comorbidities, you know, you will overcome this. I mean, there's much better odds of other things happening to you first. So, you know, let's see what happens. We've gone this long, everyone. We could go a little bit longer. You know, everyone out there has struggled, and everyone out there, for the most part, has tried to find alternate ways to work and make money and take care of finances. But no matter what you did alternately, it's not meant to be a permanent. Excuse me. That time I muted the button. I find it disrespectful to cough in your face. I have gotten 6 hours sleep the last 3 days. Tuesday morning, I got maybe like an hour and a half sleep, no joke. And Wednesday, I got, I think, 3 hours sleep. And then Thursday, ask Mish if I'm lying. Thursday, I was up at 5:45 in the morning yelling at Mish for a few things, you know, that happened online about stuff. You know, I was just bitching to him. And he was up. So if you remember Wednesday, the show ended late. By the time I put it online, it was about 2 in the morning. I didn't fall asleep till about 3:30, and I was up at 5:45 giving it to Mish a little bit. So I don't have COVID. Thank God I don't have COVID. Oh, I need to remind you all. Next Friday, I won't be here. I will be away. Next week is the 1 year anniversary that I got engaged. And because of COVID, we never had our engagement party. We never set a date. We never looked into anything. None of my family can celebrate with us. So to commemorate the 1 year anniversary, we're going to go to the scene of the crime. We're going to go back to where I proposed. We're going next Wednesday to next Monday. I should be back in time for that Monday's breakfast soup, but no show next Friday. But yes, there will be Wednesday night dynamite. I will be doing that. We're not leaving until Thursday morning around 7 a.m. So, and thank you, Ken. Thank you. Yeah, who's that? You like my pen? Big pen. Big pen. My pen is huge. You dirty mind. By the way, what is it with everybody in wanting the impersonations? You know, 15 years ago when I was doing the Minority Report, that's when the Aflac commercials used to come out with the duck and he used to scream at the top of his lungs, Aflac. And I just yelled out one time on one of the shows and everybody is like, oh my God, that sounds hilarious. It's like spot on. And then Gilbert Gottfried got canned from doing it, and they were looking for someone else. And at that time, I swear to you, there were people that were telling me, Anthony, because I wasn't DT yet. They're like, Anthony, please, you got to send. And I was like, nah, I don't. Come on, really? I mean, it's just like, I'm not going to give up my business and all this other stuff to work. What happens if the duck gets outdated and then they don't use the duck anymore? Then I got to start from scratch. So for the last 15 years, I haven't done the impersonation. I have people that live upstairs. I had no idea when I was doing those old shows that I was right underneath their bedroom and they used to hear everything. And so, and when I'm by myself, I don't sit at home and just, you know, out of boredom, just go, ah, so I never did it. So a few of you sent me super chats last week telling me to do the duck again. And I don't want to do it late at night over here. So as you saw at the beginning of the show today, I teased it. And I cut it off. Now, I originally wasn't going to tease it on Twitter, but the reason why I did was when I recorded that, I'm not going to lie, I thought it sucked. I thought it was terrible. I couldn't get the high pitch, and my throat was a little bit raspy from earlier this week. And I was like, man, this really, really sucks. What am I going to do? Because I don't want to lay anybody down. So today, I had the old Lincoln out, and I was driving. And if you look at the video again, you'll see weeds on the left side of me. There was like virtually no houses around. And I felt pretty good this morning. I had a cup of coffee right before, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And I took the phone, and I went like this. And I cranked the music up. I took the mask off because I realized it did look a little goofy. I didn't want people to see my voice, my mouth, because when I do impersonations, I kind of look ridiculous. But I did it. It was okay. It was okay. But for some reason, a lot of you out there wanted to see it. So let's get this shit out of the way. All right. You wanted me to do the Aflac duck one more time. Yeah, the Muttley. I could do the Muttley. If I still smoked and I had emphysema, it would be 10 times better. But you see, you got to do it like Muttley. I think that's why I do this. Because Muttley, when he laughed, he would put his shoulders. He'd be like. Anyway, here you go. I figured Why am I going to sit like a goof parked and do the duck again? I'll do it with a little music in the background. I won't wear the mask. And I don't know why you people are requesting this, but here you go. Are you happy now? Now, if you notice, I faded the music out quickly because I tested it on YouTube. When I put the original one on YouTube, unlisted, it said, oh, you know, no ads, you know, because of the music. So I trimmed it down like 5 seconds on each side, and I was able to get it through. So, yeah, it's allowed as long as you do, you know, under a certain number of seconds. But, yeah, oh, he got... Okay, I realize what it is, everybody. I think I just realized it. We'll try it one more time. Now, anybody on the playback, you have no issues. But I realize, remember when I said earlier, this is just me thinking with my technological mind. Remember I said earlier that I'm only pushing out like 10 megabytes a second or whatever it is or so? I think because this file is so big, I think that it's not enough speed. Do you know I've been nodding my head like this the whole time? So when a connection came back, be like, sorry, everybody. Yeah, so we'll do it Monday. We'll do it Monday. The first one I had no issues with. Yeah, we got to do it Monday. Or it, look, if you want a little sample, go to my Twitter, at DonTonyD. You could see it there. But you see... this is what I mean, and I'm not, look, we're not going to get all sidetracked right now, but this is what I mean when I say, when you do your shows, you need to know how to do everything yourself, because if something goes wrong, you need to know, you know, because I know there's some people out there that the minute something goes wrong, they're looking to call like 50 different people, like tech support, you know, it's a fucking podcast, it's not brain surgery, but when I was preparing earlier, I said, you know, something just doesn't seem right with this connection. Sure enough, I did the speed test and it was only like 20 megabytes. I'm like, 20? I got 300. I went in the other room at 10:03 and I was going to reset everything. And then I tested the speed on my other computer and that was 300. So then I looked at the updates. Motherfucker. The network got updated. So we'll do it Monday. We'll do it Monday. So... anyway, so you'll have no more buffering issues because we're not going to stream any more video like that. But you see little things like that, like who would have ever thought that just playing a little video clip would cause buffering? Yeah? Alex, I already converted the video file. The video file is not big. The video file is about 50 megabytes, but it's only 40 seconds long. So, you know, when you think about it, you know, it just can't handle that, especially with my connection, because my video going out is about 6 or 7 megabytes a second. That leaves very, very small room. We'll have buffering all night long. So, but anyway, all right, so let's move on. So we talked about Undertaker. We talked about his role in Survivor Series. We talked a little bit about SmackDown tonight. Let's fill in the rest of the blanks with SmackDown. So we already talked about New Day and the Street Profits beating Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode. You know, if you look tonight, what was it, only four matches tonight? I think there was only four matches. That was one of them. They did, as we all talked about last Friday, we said they'll probably give Natty one last shot and she'll probably win it. And sure enough, she did. She got a last chance match tonight for a spot on Survivor Series. She won. She defeated Tamina. You had Team SmackDown at ringside. And you have Bayley at ringside. And Bayley is not only on the team, she is the captain. We all talked about that last week. That's what we wanted. You got to put Bayley on Survivor Series. She doesn't have to interact with Sasha Banks, but she's got to be on Team SmackDown, and that's what we got. Benjamin, they think it's a storyline that Natty gets three shots. You know, that's, I don't know, man. I don't like that. I just, that's futile. You know, it's not like baseball. If you get a hit 3 out of 10 times, you're a Hall of Famer. You know, she lost 2 out of the 3 matches, and she won this one. And, you know, not for nothing. you know, if you're going to do that storyline on Raw where Lana, you know, is the weak link and she keeps losing, and you see old Team SmackDown there and they have their hands up in the air and they're all happy and everything, and, you know, like, all smiling. I would have been all over Natty in storyline, like, Natty, don't brag. Natty, you've been losing almost every match. What are you talking about? And you know what this is going to do? You see it already. We're going to get that quick confrontation of Natty and Lana. Anyway, Otis added to Team SmackDown. Otis, what happened to all those exclusives, everyone? What did they get? What's Ringside News going to put up tomorrow? WWE, because of us revealing the scoop that Big E was going to be on Survivor Series, WWE decided to rewrite SmackDown and give Otis the shot instead. No, nitwits, you don't change a major pay-per-view and a major person on a pay-per-view simply because a website leaked it out. Dummies, they got it wrong. I love when that happens. I love sitting back. Seriously, I'm not kidding. I love sitting back like this and watching podcasters and websites who claim they have 10, 20 years worth of connections, and they get outed. They get outed. They see a tweet. No one else has seen the tweet. Oh, I got an exclusive. And then the tweet is wrong. It happens all the time. That AEW stuff yesterday was terrible. That was so terrible. I'm not a big fan of Cody. I'm really not. You should know that by now. I respect his ability, and that guy has proved he had a chip on his shoulder and was very, very angry at WWE, and he took that and turned it into a big positive. And yes, Cody trolls. Like I said, early on, before AEW even launched Dynamite, I said they'd be the first millennial promotion, and you're going to have people think that these people will not lie, that they're all altar boys, that if they weren't in AEW, they would have became priests and nuns. You know, this is the wrestling business. You know, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, you could go down the line, you know, every promoter has been a little bit shady. It's you have to, you know, try to sell snake oil once in a while. That's what it is. That's what it is. You know, people get personally insulted at this and that. But what got me so angry about yesterday was so many people that do podcasts and run websites that never bothered to get the truth. They just were more concerned about what can I tweet to get me 100 likes? What can I say on a podcast to get me 10,000 views? And they were so wrong. So wrong. That's why Julian, that he does, I can't remember what show he does. Because I know he does, you know, like in the entertainment world, but a lot of you know Julian. He and one other person, Alternate Minds, I think it is, Alternative Minds, but him and someone else were the only two people that I saw that actually took the time and got the story. And it ended up being untrue. The Big E stuff, I laughed at it. I laughed at it because I'm like, show me where. The news is that they want Big E to possibly win the Royal Rumble. And we're only in November. You're not going to have Big E blow his load now. Now, sure, look, it's Survivor Series. They could decide to do an injury storyline and somebody gets knocked out. Otis gets laid out. Someone gets laid out in the back and they put Big E in that person's place. You knew they were going to put a big man. I think that was one thing that we all agreed on. It was either going to be Lars, Big E, or Otis. Because they wanted a big man to go up with Keith Lee. They wanted a big man to go up with Braun Strowman. You know, they wanted a big man. And they got it with Otis. So we will see what happens. We had several backstage segments. Daniel Bryan had a rematch tonight against Jey Uso. You know, Daniel Bryan sporting a new haircut. For a brief moment, he got into a little bit of a spat behind the scenes with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was angry because I think he wasn't the legal man when the loss occurred. But if you recall, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we all talked about Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan having a feud, but Survivor Series was in the way. So basically, that was put aside. They used the Jey Uso injuring Daniel Bryan as a way to write off Daniel Bryan for a couple of weeks. And then once Survivor Series is over with, Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn will resume. That's pretty much what happened tonight. But I tell you, when Daniel Bryan showed up with the new haircut, and then when he put the cloth mask over his face, you know, like to protect COVID, especially since Sami Zayn was yelling in his face, which I thought was really smart. I'm not going to lie, man. When I saw him like this, I thought that was Kip Sabian, because Kip Sabian would be a ringside for a couple of Dynamites with the mask over his face. And I was like, oh, he's got the Kip Sabian haircut. But you know what? I like it. I like it. I have no problem with it. I know some people were cracking jokes on social media. There's nothing fucking wrong with Daniel Bryan's haircut. There's nothing wrong with it. People are cracking jokes, and most of the people that crack jokes won't even show you what they look like. Before you make fun of someone else, look in the fucking mirror. So, you know, Hulkster thought it was The Miz, brother. But I like his haircut. Why not? You know, it's a little bit different. But I'm looking forward to Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan going at it. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And that should start up after Survivor Series, without a doubt. So, brother. What else do we have? You know, Jey Uso in the back. Now all of a sudden he's allowed to cut promos, you know, whatever. He has his match with Daniel Bryan. Very physical. I mean, they went through tables, and Daniel Bryan got a roll-up pin for the win. But again, how do you go off the air without Raw showing up and causing chaos and just leaving the SmackDown going off the air with all of this chaos going on in the ring? That, oh my God, if it's this bad now, wait till Survivor Series. Good night, everybody. Blah, 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 blah. They didn't do any of that. I mean, you would have never thought that there was a pay-per-view this Sunday, the way SmackDown went off the air tonight. Like I said, I was trying to work with this modem stuff, and you know, I had the TV on as well, and I'm looking at it, and I see Daniel Bryan get the roll-up, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I'm like, okay, so when is Raw coming out to try to destroy them? And they never came out. They just, and the women's side, how do you not have Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax show up to choke people out? I don't get that. I thought that was so blah. The one thing tonight, now I'm talking promos wise, because I thought Murphy and Rollins was excellent. Say what you want about Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins tore it up with Dominic in the ring. Seth Rollins has been tearing it up with Murphy in the ring. If you look at Murphy's profile on WWE.com, they added the Buddy back. But they're still using just the Murphy name on TV. Expect that to change soon. Especially if they do that wedding storyline that we talked about. We talked about the wedding and the pregnancy stuff. You know, you think about it. You're not going to have a priest in front of you. Aaliyah Mysterio, do you take Murphy to be, what's his last name? I now pronounce Mr. That's like Macho Man. Remember the Macho Man? Do you remember what they called Macho? They could, when they got married, they called him Mr. and Mrs. Macho. Kid you not. When Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man did the wedding thing, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Macho. What are you going to do? I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Murphy. Murphy? They're going to put the name back. Telling you. Remember what I said. Aaliyah, no wrestling training that we are aware of. They're going to do a storyline that does not require wrestling training and makes it off limits. Pregnant? Getting married? Easy ways to do that. So we'll see where that goes. By the way, the photos of Becky Lynch that came out with Seth Rollins that are just beautiful. I mean, my God, some of those photos, you would not have even thought that that was Becky Lynch. You know, because she's got, you know, her outfit, her makeup, the way they do her hair. You see her outside, you're like, damn! I mean, but we're going to talk about that on Monday. I got to leave some convo for Mish and I to have on Monday. So, You know, we're going to talk about the fallout from Survivor Series. We'll talk about Raw, some wrestling news. We'll talk about those photos and a few other things as well. But, you know, the Murphy-Seth Rollins match, I don't understand the reports going around that WWE scrapped, like, the storyline to take Seth Rollins off of TV. I mean, Becky's stomach right now is like this. I mean, he's going to be taking off TV. You remember my idea last week? Remember I similar to Mr. Perfect and Ric Flair 1993 Raw. You would have, if you remember what I said last week, Seth Rollins loses to Murphy this week on Raw, SmackDown, and then maybe next week, which will be after Survivor Series, maybe something happens at Survivor Series where Rollins gets attacked by Murphy, and then next SmackDown, they do a loser leaves SmackDown match. Doesn't mean that Seth Rollins has to be gone forever, but that's similar to what they did with Perfect and Ric Flair in 1993. If you might remember what I said that last Friday, I still think it's going to happen. So you'll probably see them go at it a little bit more, and Seth Rollins will be so frustrated that he'll put his career on the line. He will lose, and then he will take his time off, not only for the birth of his child, but also to stay with Becky Lynch for a little while, which is totally understandable. So we'll talk about that a little bit more on Monday. No, I'm not talking about the class action lawsuit tonight. I got to get all those specs. If you're talking about that settlement that WWE made with that company, I think in Michigan, I want to look at those court documents. I don't pay attention to those news sites because they don't even understand what they're typing. You know, look at all the stuff with Zelina Vega. Oh, I wrote the quote down. What was the quote? Here's the quote. Zelina Vega talked to, Gabrielle Carteris from the Screen Actors Guild. And seriously, I want you to think about this for a minute. Because remember, we broke what happened with Zelina Vega's release last week. We were the only people that talked about OnlyFans being the breaking point. And then everybody used breaking point, which was cute. But seriously, I want you to now remember, Mish and I are both very supportive of Zelina Vega. And I also believe Zelina Vega should be allowed to do some of what she's doing and stay with WWE. But the Screen Actors Guild, SAG-AFTRA, AFTRA, wrote the following on Twitter. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully. Powerful conversation with Thea Trinidad, Zelina Vega, today. We support her and others as they work to protect and empower themselves. Does that sound like a union looking to sign them up? Or does that just sound like, hey, everybody, you know, keep me in your thoughts and your prayers. Oh, we give you all our support. Really, seriously, let me repeat that statement again. Powerful conversation with Zelina Vega today. We support her and others as they work to protect and empower themselves. You could say that about women. You could say that about gays. You could say that about blacks. You could say that about transsexuals. You could say that about anybody you want to say that about. Remember what I said at the end of the day? This is going to go virtually nowhere because people are going to be forced to take two sides. If Andrew Yang does anything, which I honestly don't think he's going to, he'll keep talking it and getting people's hopes up. But what'll happen is he won't push the buttons or anything like that. Other people will, and then he'll take credit for starting, you know, the momentum. And maybe he deserves that credit. But as far as Screen Actors Guild, they're just ambulance chasers. A powerful conversation with Zelina. What does powerful mean? You know, they're not lawyers. They're not lawyers. They can't sue WWE. Powerful conversation. What does that even mean? They fired me. You know, I'm totally in support of Zelina Vega. But when you actually think about what they wrote, they're ambulance chasers. They see a class of people. Oh my God. Could you imagine if we could sign some of these $500,000 people to contracts? Oh my God. Do you realize how much money they would take? And how much freedom is lost? This isn't going to go anywhere. You will not see wrestlers in droves go to the Screen Actors Guild. Like I said, and you will not hear any other podcast do this. I said it last week. I'll say it again now, and I'll continue saying it because it's probably the most glaring thing in them all. Has the Screen Actors Guild yet say that the wrestlers could join us? They say nobody has the balls. If they do an interview, you know what's going to happen. Chris Van Vliet, with all due respect to him, I like him, but he's going to do an interview with Gabrielle Carteris, and you know what's going to happen?
Well, how is Daniel 2.0? Who is your favorite actor? Who is your favorite actress? What do you think of Angelina Vega? Do you think they should Twitch? Do you think they should do Facebook? What about FaceTime? You want to go after a coffee theater?
And the one question he won't ask them is, can the wrestlers join you right now? Seriously. Take note of that one question that will not be answered. Why doesn't Zelina Vega join him right now? Ambulance chases everybody. But you see, you and I, when we look at it this way, that's not fun. It's boring. It doesn't get that emotional tweet or like behind it. We like to discuss reality, you know? Oh my God, I can have a field day right now. I can have a field day with Goofs. But, you know, just remember those two things. Are they allowed to join? Yes or no?
Who is 90210? What do you think about this? Is it a shame that so-and-so died? Luke Ferry. Remember, he's a Luke Ferry. Larry, is it this? What do you think? You think the new 90210 should have black people in? What do you think of this?
Stupid. Anyway, before we do the predictions, let's do ratings. AEW, NXT. I came close. I was 29,000 off by AEW, and I was off 30,000 by NXT. My predictions last week was 819 for AEW. They actually did 850. And I said NXT would do 608. They did 638. But if you look at what I said again, I said that AEW would beat NXT by 211,000 viewers. My predictions was 819 to 608. AEW would win by 211,000 viewers. They won by 212,000 viewers. I was off by 1,000. I just thought those were reasonable numbers, but I tell you, for all of you like the quarter hours, this week's numbers are very interesting. And I don't just say that to hype it up or I don't clickbait. Especially the NXT numbers. When I get to them, very interesting of what you're going to see as far as the trend. I mean, it just, the whole night, this pretty much was the whole night for NXT for each quarter. That's what it was. AEW, it was like this. Actually, AEW went like this. See, yeah, when I got into it, AEW did this with their rating, and NXT went like this. All right, let's do it. AEW, hour number one, 850,000 viewers. Oh, excuse me. I take that back. Hour number one, 890,000 viewers. Hour two, 810,000 viewers for a composite of 850. So they did 850,000 viewers. Is that right? 850? Hold on. Let me just double check that. Yeah, 850. Their opening quarter, Top Flight versus the Young Bucks, did 975,000 viewers. Remember when I said on Wednesday, you know, even though Top Flight obviously, you know, have a lot more work to do, just imagine just the pressure being 19 and 21 years old and you had the biggest rating of the night And yes, the Young Bucks are responsible for that. But, you know, they, imagine the nerves, the, you know, this, the nervousness of getting that big of an opportunity. So pretty cool. Absolutely cool. But I will say this. Remember that 975 number to open up AEW? By the end of the night, because you're going to be surprised. You're going to be very surprised. So the first quarter hour, 975,000. Quarter two, which was part one of the Inner Circle in Las Vegas, that teaser, the Director X video, and the promo by Jon Moxley where he revealed that him and Renee are expecting, the rating dropped from 975,000 to 882,000, a 93,000 viewership drop. If you think that's 93,000 viewers that left AEW decided to go watch NXT, because NXT's second quarter went down 42,000 viewers. What I think happened, honestly, is I think that people, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I think people that were tuning in to TNT before AEW started, when their show went off the air, they were probably eating dinner, doing dishes, taking a shower, getting stuff ready for work. They walk into the room. Oh, we forgot to change the channel, honey. And I think that they turned AEW off, because that'd be very interesting for AEW fans to turn off the first half of the Inner Circle stuff, the Director X video that everybody's raving about, and Moxley's promo. So I think that was the case. But so they dropped 93,000 viewers. Quarter three, Orange Cassidy versus Kip Sabian dropped another 70,000 viewers to 812,000. Again, sorry, Kip, but as I keep bringing up week after week after week after week, his numbers suck. His numbers suck. It doesn't matter who he's in the ring with. You know, maybe they should put him in the ring with Cody. I'm not joking. And see what kind of number he could get. Or put the Young Bucks versus Kip and Miro. Just to see. Just to see where it goes. Quarter four, with what, which was the contract signing that was supposed to be with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley getting attacked in the back. And then Jade injuring Brandi Rhodes, and Brandy's too cool to cry, you know, for pain. And the part two of the Inner Circle segment, that jumped 80,000 viewers to 892,000. If you're going to say to me that the fans left NXT to go watch AEW, not the case either, because that same quarter, NXT only went down about 10,000 viewers. So fans tuned in to see those segments. Quarter five, which was The Blade versus Pac, and then what went on in the ring afterwards, which is going to ultimately set up Eddie Kingston, The Butcher, and The Blade versus the Death Triangle. That rating jumped up slightly to 895,000 viewers, a 3,000 viewership increase. Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb dropped 95,000 viewers to 800,000. If you're going to say to me that they left that match to go watch NXT, not the case, because the same quarter for NXT also dropped 13,000 viewers. So they weren't. There's only one quarter that you can honestly say that fans likely went from AEW to NXT, and I'll get to that soon. So Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb did 800,000 viewers. The end of that match, and then the incident with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, that increased slightly to 823,000 viewers. And then the main event, Cody and Darby Allin versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. The main event only did 722,000 viewers, 101,000 viewership drop. If you also include the first half of the Thunder Rosa Serena Deeb match, they lost almost 170,000 viewers in the final 30 minutes of their show. It's a big deal. That is a big deal. And a Cody match did the worst rating of the night. So I'm just bringing that out. So just to summarize for the eight quarters, we always do this. 850 is the starting point. 975, 882, 812, 892, 895, 800, 823, 722. Remember? That's what they did. Up, down, down. Like the Xavier, up, down, up, down. NXT's numbers are fascinating. Their rating is almost identical to last week, but the viewership was totally different this week as far as ratings go. Check this out. You're gonna appreciate this. NXT, Hour one, 649,000 viewers. Hour two, 626,000 viewers for a composite of 638,000 viewers. Their opening quarter of Johnny Gargano versus Leon Ruff was at 692,000 viewers. That was the highest viewership of the entire night. I don't know if anybody was still watching USA Network and decided to tune it off, but that was their highest rating of the night. The Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis fiasco, the Shotzi Blackheart promo, and the very beginning of Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter dropped to 643,000 viewers, which was a drop of 49,000. The ending of that match and the match between Arturo Ruas and Kushida dropped just slightly, another 5,000 viewership drop to 638,000. The beginning of Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez versus Toni Storm and Ember Moon, the first half of that match, that dropped even further. That went down another 16,000 viewers to 622,000. The ending of that match, and then the match with Timothy Thatcher and August Gray, that dropped 6,000 viewers to 616. See where it's going? Then the confrontation with Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa. Then the three-way brawl with Leon Ruff, Johnny Gargano, and Damian Priest. That dropped 13,000 viewers to 603. The seventh quarter, which was the segment with William Regal and Leon Ruff in the back, and then William Regal with Boa at Boa's house, and then the first part of Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai, that increased slightly with 5,000 viewers, and that increase only happened at the latter part of that quarter. And the main event, Io Shirai versus Rhea Ripley. Remember, the Finn Balor stuff was mostly overrun, so you really don't include that. But the Io Shirai versus Rhea Ripley match went up 67,000 viewers to 675,000. So when you look back at this, the last quarter of AEW dropped 100,000 viewers. NXT increased 72,000 at that same time. It is the only time during the night that you saw a steep drop on one side and a steep increase on the other. So people preferred to watch Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai over Cody versus Darby Allin. Yes, Cody and Darby Allin still ended up doing 50,000 more viewers. But when you look at the overall scope, the main event match for AEW was 250,000 viewer drop than what they opened with. I mean, that's almost 30% of the viewers. So just to summarize, NXT for the night, we used 638 as the medium point. And again, it's very interesting because you usually don't see this. This is the medium, 638, 692, 643, 638, 622, 616, 603, 608, 675. Everything went down except for Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai. I know people are very passionate about women's wrestling in AEW. And I know Britt Baker means well when she says, oh, if you really support us, don't change the channel. One thing you can say about NXT that you really, even the diehard AEW fans can't dispute this, is that fans, maybe not as much as AEW, but as far as NXT fans go, that there's been many times where the women have drawn the biggest numbers of the night, the biggest increases of the night. So what does that say? WWE gives a little bit more strong storylines, prestige, you know, making things mean a lot more with a lot of women's title matches. And then on the men's side, you got things like, you know, Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis, and Grimes runs off and nothing happens of it. You know, you have Leon Ruff, and he loses because Damian Priest gives him a cheap shot. You know, you could see, and I think fans, you know, are a little bit tired of some of the fuckery that WWE does on NXT television. So there you go. So that's your ratings for this week. I got to praise big time that promo that Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns cut on each other tonight. I thought it was the best part of SmackDown, even though I'm starting to think that their match is going to end up with some type of a clusterfuck finish. One of my friends, Aaron Kloss, came up with a scenario, which I tweaked a little bit, that, you know, what if something happens to Drew McIntyre and Miz tries to cash it in, and then Sheamus shows up and prevents Miz from cashing in or makes Miz unsuccessful, and then Sheamus turns on Drew McIntyre and that starts their feud. I like that. That's not a bad idea. You just don't feel, when we get to predictions, you'll understand why I say this, but you just don't feel there's any way that Roman Reigns is losing clean. It just wouldn't make sense. But tonight, they did a contract signing. I don't know. Do we see contract signings for the others? I don't know. But Roman Reigns trying to get in Drew McIntyre's head, calling him the secondary champion. Drew McIntyre is telling him we're going to go to war Sunday. But Roman Reigns, look, obviously a lot of these lines are fed to him, but he executed them perfectly. He says, you know, he's like, look at you. You only get the title when I'm busy. Roman Reigns is busy right now, so we'll put the title on Drew McIntyre. I thought that was hilarious. He talks about himself being the champion, the face of the WWE, the head of the table. And they even did something tonight that we used to do with my dad. Nobody would sit at the dinner table until my father sat down. That was something that we did for a very, very long time. And I loved it tonight where Roman Reigns makes sure Adam Pearce is not sitting down. Roman Reigns sits down first, then Adam Pearce. You know, that happens in different households. It happened in my household for sure. And we weren't like, oh, are you kidding me? No, we did it because we wanted to do it. But, you know, the best part is when Roman Reigns told him that, you know, one day you'll be the head of the WWE. And you'll go back and look at these days and you'll thank me for it. And you'll love me for it. And I love you back. And he said that, Drew, no matter what, you'll always be my favorite number two. I mean, and you, if you remember Monday, when they recapped what happened last week on SmackDown, they did not include the part where Roman Reigns said, nobody tunes in on Mondays. They tune in to see Friday to see the tribal chief. So that, I think, works out really well. The only problem with it is that Roman Reigns' character right now is so Teflon that you want Roman Reigns to eat his words. You know, like, you keep calling Drew McIntyre a number two. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get goofs on social media. You're going to be like, yeah, he's right. He is a number two. You know, that's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to elevate people. You're trying to legitimize their reigns. You're trying to make the road a little bit easier. And remember, everyone, this is entertainment. This is not real life. So when Roman Reigns calls Drew McIntyre a secondary champion, you know, these people that go, you know, I mean, I'm not kidding. I have to shut my thing off for this because I don't want my screen to get all fucked up. But could you just picture some people at home with their big bellies? They're like this. And then Roman Reigns is like, no matter what, Drew, you'll always be a secondary champion. It's a fucking entertainment show, goofs. Fucking goofs. And then the best part is, when people criticize their favorites. Am I wrong, everyone? Seriously, am I wrong? There's some people that despise when I do that because they got friends on social media that do that, and they're kind of like angry, like we keep, you know, exposing them like that. But seriously, how old are you? Oh, shit. It went black. I see, because I didn't shut it off. But seriously, how old are you? You'll always be my favorite number two. How's about just enjoy the fucking show? My God. People want to live vicariously through wrestling storylines and badass people. I think that's what it is. They just want to live vicariously through storylines and badass people. Fictitious characters. Roman Reigns is one of the nicest, generous, coolest guys outside of pro wrestling. He goes on TV for, you imagine if they're watching General Hospital? Imagine watching General Hospital and one of the nicest, beautiful, kindest women goes on that show and she's married to someone who is sick in hospital with a coma and she goes to see him and she's crying and her makeup looks like Rudy Giuliani's head. And then she leaves the place and she goes into, you know, rings the doorbell and you think she's going to hug her mama because her husband's in critical condition. The next thing you know, she's pumping. And then they go on social media. Oh, man. Get laid. Get a fucking life. Seriously. Oh, a couple of super chats. Sorry for neglecting a few people out there earlier. Puffy89. What's up, Puffy? Like my pen? Call me biased because he lives in Connecticut. But what have been great? Would have been the series, Survivor Series was in Hartford this year. The exact date where he debuted. Yeah, you know, but, you know, look, 30 years. 30 years is a big deal. It is a big deal. 30 years of Jericho, 30 years of Undertaker. I'm surprised that people haven't started the debate yet. Who had the better 30 years? To me, I don't compare careers. Two totally different characters. But, you know, 30 years, you know, it was 30 years. So it definitely deserves to be celebrated. But the little incidentals of going back to Hartford and going here and going there, that might be sentimental to the wrestler. But for the fans out there, you know, the only fans that would probably find it sentimental are the ones who maybe went to Survivor Series 1990, who are now 30 years older, and, you know, where it all began. You know, isn't that what they say about WrestleMania, where it all begins again? So I don't think that emotional tie would be that strong. It would be cool for everyone on the Northeast, especially in the Connecticut area. But, you know, I think people are more about, you know, the anniversary, not really the location. But, hey, people in Connecticut would have sold that son of a bitch out like this, seriously. They would have sold that out. Anthony Diaz, do I miss Sal from Arizona? For those that don't know, Sal from Arizona used to be one of our most loyal friends of the show. You know, always in the chat room, always socializing. You know, if you look at Neil Ray in the chat and Ken Terminated by DQ and Benjamin and Big Baller and Austin Nance and Brian and Mystery Man and Quincy, and you add them all together, and Jay Carlos and others, you add them all together, and you'd still probably would have typed less than what Sal wrote. That guy used to be so active. Honestly, I think the guy just fell out of love with wrestling because I remember towards the tail end of him being around more and more, you know, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, this does, this sucks, this sucks. You know, people fall out of love with wrestling. You know, I luckily have not. You know, if something sucks, I try to find something that doesn't. You know, instead of focusing on the stuff that sucks, focus on the stuff that's good. That's something that I try to do. But Sal is cool people. And once in a blue moon, he does, you know, show up to say hi to everyone. And just when you think that son of a bitch is back ready to annoy everyone, he disappears again. So, Ken terminated by DQ. I am killing him twice today. That Muttley impersonation. It's the last part that's the hardest, because you have to, like, have virtually no air left in your lungs. And for anyone out there that's never seen it, go on YouTube. Telling you, you will laugh. Just look up the best of Muttley. Dick Dastardly. And look up the best of Muttley. There is somebody did a montage, and it's everything of him laughing. And once in a while, like, he would get trolled by Dick Dastardly. And he would just be there going, it's funny as shit, man. That's what I grew up watching. I'm telling you, it's funny, man. It's funny. But it's just weird because I haven't watched that cartoon in about 30 years. And somebody just brought it up not too long ago. And I remember I used to do the laugh. And I was like, oh, let me see if I could do it. And, you know, I try. Trust me, I don't sit home in front of the mirror and go. I look like a chicken doing this. I'm going to lay an egg. So what did we forget tonight on SmackDown? I don't think we really forgot anything. I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. You know, Big E having a little bit of a confrontation with the Street Profits. Polite. So, look, it's going to be a friendly, fun match. I don't expect anger in that match. And when the match is over, you'll definitely see handshakes for sure. Oh, yeah, there is a compilation on YouTube, Hulkster. Just type in Best of Muttley or Muttley Dick Dastardly. If you just type in Muttley Dick Dastardly, it'll be one of the first titles that'll pop up. Because one thing I will say, there isn't like thousands of Muttley videos. It is outdated. You know, that cartoon came out in the 60s. I wasn't born in the 60s. But, you know, I grew up as a kid in the 70s. So I was young enough and I would watch it. Wacky Racers, I think they used to do. So Kermit the Frog. Wow. I don't know if I could do it like that. I usually have to practice it a couple of times.
Kermit the Frog here.
I used to be able to do Miss Piggy too. Ooh. See, I can't do it right now. I have to get really, really high. But yeah, I could do it. I really can. I have to practice it first. But, you know, I could do a lot, multiple sentences, but yeah, I could do perfect Kermit the Frog. I used to do perfect Fozzie Bear too. I can't, see, I usually have to stand up for it, but I have to have like all my breath.
Waka, 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 waka!
I can't do it. It's too late and my throat's a little sore. I don't know how they come about. I honestly don't. I never really liked Mickey Mouse. I never really liked Mickey Mouse. My friend used to be an artist, and I don't know, he was definitely sexually frustrated in grammar school, because every time he drew Mickey Mouse, there was always a giant penis attached to it. I kid you not, I swear on a stack of Bibles. This guy would draw Mickey Mouse like, hey, look, I drew you Mickey Mouse. And I look at it, and there's a giant penis on it. He's got like this with his hand. So anyway, let's do Survivor Series predictions. We're at an hour and 36 minutes, so we're right on time. And I get to go to sleep early tonight. Oh, thank you. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight because I know my dad doesn't have COVID. I mean, pneumonia is no joke either. But he's had this for 6 days already. And I think he's starting to really turn the corner. I saw him yesterday. He sounded terrible. But, you know, made him soup, did some laundry, spent some time with him. Spent some time with my mom, and, you know, I brought a can of Lysol. If anybody knows the story, you know the story. My mom, just how naive she is about this virus. She called me while we were doing a Patreon show the other day. I put it on speaker to show everyone that the story I said about my family wasn't a lie. A lot of people lie on social media just to get attention. So they heard my mom. And I told her, I said, because she had no Lysol, I said, please walk down the flight of stairs, get my can of Lysol out of my apartment. And she didn't get it. And she says, don't worry about it, I got Febreze. And I said to her right on the phone, people thought it was funny, but I was like, you know, she's stupid. I said, Febreze. I said, what do you want, the virus to smell nice? Febreze doesn't kill the virus. Febreze just makes things smell nicer. I said, please, for me, just go down. And, you know, I had to go there yesterday. So it's been a really, really rocky last 4 days. You know what the worst part about it is? I wonder how many of you out there have a mom that does this. It's usually mothers that do this, not fathers. Any of you out there have moms who will get like some bad news and they don't tell you it for days because they don't want you to worry? My mom does that shit. My mom, when she had the heart surgery 3 years ago and was clinically pronounced dead twice, she told us that, I'm just having a valve cleaned up. They cut her from here down to her belly button, opened her up, took one of her valves, cut it out, and put a valve from a pig in her. And I said, this is nothing. They're just cleaning you up. My father wanted to kill the doctor. I swear to God, my father took the doctor by the neck and threw him against the wall because my father had no idea that my mother was having this surgery. My mom promised the doctor, and the doctor has, you know, it's an oath. You can't, no matter what. But, you know, when I found out, Tuesday. I found out Tuesday. And my mom says to me that my brother and my father have been extremely sick since Saturday. And, you know, when she was telling me all of the symptoms, I swear to God, COVID, everything. Fever up and down, coughing, a lot of phlegm, head, sinus, sore throat, feeling like you're beat up, you know, loss of taste. My father says to my mother, like, hey, I can tell if I have COVID. Cut me some cantaloupe. And he ate the cantaloupe and couldn't taste it. So it freaked me out. But what got me pissed off is I should have known Saturday. She waited till Tuesday to tell me. And, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, so let's do Survivor Series predictions so I could get out of here. There will be a Survivor Series recap immediately following Survivor Series. I will get this modem crap fixed before then. I like I said, I probably just got to reboot my computer because I saw updates installed. So anyway, we have a Battle Royal in the pre-show. They have not announced the participants as of yet. It is going to be Raw versus SmackDown. It will be funny to see Retribution wearing Raw shirts. Hopefully they don't do that, but it'd be pretty goofy funny if they did. My whole thinking of Retribution with Undertaker, if they end up being in this Royal Rumble, Battle Royal, and the pre-show, I'm a little concerned because, you know, they have to have some type of statement somewhere. I still think Mia Yim is going to end up attacking Asuka, and that will set up the next feud. So I'm going to go with Team Raw. Actually, no. I'm going to go with Team SmackDown to win the pre-show. And I'll tell you why later on. I'm going to go with Team SmackDown to win the pre-show. And again, we don't know the participants as of yet. So now we go to the main card. We have the New Day versus the Street Profits. Tag Champs versus Tag Champs. Personally, the New Day doesn't gain anything by beating the Street Profits. In my opinion, Street Profits have a lot to gain by beating the New Day. I think Street Profits getting the win would be a nice rub for the New Day to give them. I think if that happens, it will be an abrupt finish, maybe like reversal, and then Street Profits get the win. I'd like to see the Street Profits get the win. They could use it 1,000 times more than the New Day right now. So I'm going to go with the Street Profits to win that match. After the match is over, you'll probably see them hug each other, lift each other's hand, all good fun. And who knows, maybe Big E makes an appearance as well. So, yeah, we're still live. Who's that? We're still live. We're doing Survivor Series predictions now, and I will definitely be done before 2 hours. So, worked out. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn, U.S. champion versus IC champion. The Hurt Business is on such a great momentum right now. And Sami Zayn, I don't think, really needs the win. I could see him losing to Bobby Lashley, and maybe Daniel Bryan laughs at him the following week, and that starts the confrontation, hence the feud. So I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley to beat Sami Zayn. I go with Bobby Lashley to beat Sami Zayn. The women's match, Team Raw, which is Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lana, Lacey Evans, and Peyton Royce, versus Team SmackDown of Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Bayley, and Natalya. Now, because Bayley is officially in this match, I think Team SmackDown will win. I think we'll probably see something happen with Lana and maybe Natty. Maybe Lana actually gets the win and everybody is shocked to shit. I have a feeling Lana gets a victory over somebody and everybody is just shocked. But that shock will be short-lived, and she'll probably get rolled up or, you know, a kick or a punch somewhere, submission move, and she'll tap out. Smoking Hydro says he can't hear me. I'm sorry about that. So, can you guys hear me right now? Can you guys hear me? I just want to make sure you guys could hear me, because once in a while someone in the chat says, oh, I can't hear him. So, just, yes, you can hear me. Okay, good, good. Thank you. Thank you. I look at the monitors and I see it. So when someone says I can't hear you and I see the monitor and it's doing this, I'm like, that can't be. So, So I think with the women's side, look, you can't have the men's team and the women's team both win their brands. I personally think either Bianca Belair or Bayley, or maybe both of them, would be the sole survivors. I could see Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax getting into some type of clusterfuck finish. We already know the stuff with Lana. Peyton Royce or Lacey Evans, one of those two are going to get a very quick loss. They may beat someone and then get pinned immediately after. So I'm going to go with Team SmackDown to win that match. And the reason why I go with Team SmackDown is because the men's side of Survivor Series, Team Raw, which is Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Matt Riddle, taking on Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King... Wait a minute. Am I leaving someone out? AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus... Okay. AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Matt Riddle versus Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and Otis. Now, since I'm going with the SmackDown side to win on the women's side, I'm going to go with Team Raw to win on the men's side. They have been pushing disorganization on Team Raw too much. They have been pushing them not getting along too much. In the end, they will work together. They will get the win. You're not going to have Sheamus job out, especially if he's going to start feuding with Drew McIntyre, in my opinion. So, I don't know, Mystery, if Otis is a weak link. Corbin, yeah, they have done nothing with Corbin. And I don't think anybody's complaining. Otis, they're rebuilding. Now, it's still very new, but they're starting to rebuild Otis. So I'm going to go with Team Raw to get the win. So we got a split on that side. Asuka, Raw Women's Champion versus Sasha Banks, SmackDown Women's Champion. I think, pun intended, there will be retribution for Asuka. If you notice tonight, Sasha Banks comes out for... By the way, wasn't that odd? You had Murphy win, the Mysterios all happy in the ring, and Rollins is all like on his ass, half knocked out, and Sasha Banks' music hits. I'm like, is she part of this segment? And then they go to commercial. Like, they were rushing it. Did anybody notice that tonight? I was like, man, who the fuck thought that was smart? But what happened was, Sasha Banks hits the ring and she's talking about Survivor Series. Then Oscar comes out. And again, you could tell that Oscar really can't carry an English conversation as much as people think. And everything Sasha was saying about winning, Oscar was cutting catchphrases, promos. Oh, you didn't know, now you know. You know, she was doing the New Age Outlaws. She did her own. What was the other one that she did? Did she do D-Generation X? Well, there was one other one that she did also. But she kept cutting catchphrases. Sasha was being serious, and Oscar was just being extremely goofy about it. It was funny. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the segment. You're not the boss of me. John Cena, you can't see me. And Sasha's like, yes, I can see you. And I was like, that kind of sucked. But look, Oscar was very funny in this. But Carmella attacked Sasha from behind. Right before that, Sasha took her shoes off and was ready to go at it with Oscar. She gets attacked by Carmella. Carmella puts her upside down, the tree of woe, in the corner. And Carmella, knocks her in her face. Carmella leaves the ring. Sasha is still tied up upside down. And during the whole time, Oscar's in the middle, in the ring on the side like this. Just like watching, staring. She didn't try to help Sasha. She didn't try to hurt Sasha either. And I think the same thing is going to happen to Oscar on Sunday. I think Mia Yim is going to attack Oscar. And I think Sasha Banks, after Oscar just letting Carmella do what she wants, I think Sasha Banks will not do anything about it. And I think Sasha Banks will get the win on Oscar. And that will set up the feud of Mia Yim versus Oscar. So I'm going to go with Sasha Banks winning that match. That leaves Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns. Personally, Roman Reigns can't win, can't lose. Can't lose. The way his character is, it can't even be a roll-up. They did that with Drew and Randy Orton once, if you remember. The first match I think they had, it was a very cheap win on a pay-per-view. And I was like, are you kidding me? I hope to God they don't do that Sunday. I don't want to see Roman Reigns lose by a cheap roll-up or something like that. I personally think Drew McIntyre, they can go the no contest route, but I think especially under the circumstances, there should be some concise winner in this. I personally think when it comes to interference, Drew McIntyre can lose. Who is going to interfere to cause Roman Reigns to lose? If you really think about it, you're not going to have the Usos turning on Roman Reigns right now. Kevin Owens is going to be on NXT doing commentary. So I don't know what that means as far as Saturday. But I personally think that if they're going to do this with Sheamus, it'd be very interesting to see if Sheamus comes out with Drew or if Sheamus, at the beginning of the match or if he shows up later on. Remember, Miz and Morrison are not on this card. So as we talked about earlier, we could have a little tease of Miz maybe looking to cash in the briefcase. So I could see something happening where somebody interferes and maybe Drew is knocked out and Miz tries to cash in and someone shows up and makes it unsuccessful for Miz. And then maybe that leads, that could be what they do with Sheamus. But I personally think there's no way Roman Reigns loses this match Sunday. It's just a matter of how Drew McIntyre loses. I don't want to have any match where there's no winner. I mean, to me, that's a cop out. That's a cop out. But there's always the chance that we could end up with no winner. But for me personally, I think every match should have a winner. So I'm going to go with Roman Reigns to win that match. I don't want to see Drew winning by DQ either. So, but that is your Survivor Series card. The Undertaker stuff is going to be special. It's going to definitely get some people emotional, and rightfully so. We'll see if anybody attacks Undertaker. What's up, Nathan? And if that happens, remember where you heard it for the last bunch of weeks. Overall, in all, I think SmackDown is going to be a very good pay-per-view. But I think a lot of the matches suffered because they wanted to put so much focus on Undertaker. I mean, it's just, I understand, you know, the level of respect and appreciation, absolutely. But, you know, it just feels, why now? Just, I still think going out at WrestleMania is the right way to go. And it gives him 4 months to train. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But everyone, I'm going to get out of here. I thank you for tuning in tonight. As you could see, I haven't done it in your face because I think that's disrespectful, but I've felt a couple of yawns come. And I have a way of doing it where it looks like I'm about to burp, but it's actually like me like letting a yawn like slip out without going. No, I really yawned. So I am going to crash for the night. So I know some of you are asking if we're going to game Saturday night on Discord. Absolutely, man. Jackbox, Among Us, yeah, probably start around 9:30 p.m. So if you enjoyed tonight's show, I'd appreciate if you give it a thumbs up before you jet out. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please do. Because as soon as we hit that 20,000 mark, you know, me and Mish, we're going to blow up some stuff on this show. We're going to have some big fun. So, and you'll always be notified. Remember, I think Monday, provided I don't lose my voice, but Monday afternoon, I'll be recording the next Q&A. So I thank everybody who sent in questions. And you still have some time. But Monday afternoon will probably be the day that I do the Q&A. So it's going to be a pretty hectic week when you think about it. Survivor Series Sunday, Q&A Monday, Breakfast Soup Monday, Breakfast Soup Patron Tuesday, Wednesday Night Dynamite Wednesday. Then it's 5 days of vacation. So, all right, everybody. Ken, Sam, Brony, Jody, Austin, Neil, Smoking Hydro, Ken, Brony FN, James Edward, Hulkster, brother, Mystery Man, Lion, and everyone else. Have a great night. Much love as always. I'll catch you all Sunday. I'm going to talk to Mish tomorrow to see if he'll be joining me Sunday. If not, he'll definitely be joining me Monday, and we will have fun. And I thank you all for your support. Much love, and I'm sorry we couldn't stream that video. I'm really sorry. Like I said, this connection, I got to reboot the computer, but I promise you Monday. And if you can't wait, go to Twitter at DonTonyD. Good night. Or you can go to my TikTok. It's on TikTok. I forgot. I said it earlier, but I set up TikTok today. Don't ask me why, but I did. It's DonTonyD. Same as my Twitter. Good night, everybody. Be well. Stay safe. Much love. Ciao. Oof.